This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, December 31st. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. It's official. 2020 has come to an end. All week, we've been taking a look back at the year in tech news. But today, on the eve of a new year, we're turning our attention to the future. As is tradition, our personal tech team has made a list of their predictions for the year ahead, all the technology they think will shape 2021. They join me to share that list after the break. Came with a slew of pandemic-related tech and tech solutions. We've spoken on the show about at-home fitness, masks with built-in microphones to solve for muffled phone calls. But we've got vaccines being distributed now, and maybe more on the way. There is an end in sight to the pandemic. So the big question is, which of these tech products stay and which go? And what other developments are on the horizon? I'm joined by some of our tech team to talk about what lies ahead of us. Our columnists Joanna Stern, Nicole Nguyen, and Christopher Mims join me to look into our crystal ball. Hey guys, happy holidays.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Hi there.
Okay, so we mentioned all that pandemic tech. What has staying power? What's going to stick around?
I think good video calling stays, or at least gets better in 2021. I've written a lot this year about how crappy webcams are on laptops. And I think we will see improvements in 2021, at least on the built-in hardware on laptops and computers. I think this idea that we will return to something, and we probably start to have more in-person meetings again. But I do not think the concept of us video calling or even just taking video calls instead of regular phone calls is going to go away.
I think grocery delivery stays. I think a lot more people are willing to pay the $4 or $5 extra for milk in order to save an hour off of shopping, parking, you know, dealing with the overwhelming number of choices in the grocery store.
And further to that, I think that I think that a lot of the e-commerce stays. So it's easy if you're a younger person to think like, you know, who wasn't using Amazon? But when you look at the numbers, the adoption, especially for older folks, has been really astonishing. Like it's like jumps in certain segments from like, you know, 30% of people above age 65 using certain types of delivery for various home goods to, you know, 75%.
And Joanna, we've talked about the mask phone before. Does that stick around? Do products like that stick around?
I think masks are going to stay. I think we are going to see a big transition, especially in cities, to people wearing masks. So things like a mask phone, where you can take a phone call and actually have the microphone inside the mask and sound a little bit better, might be something that stays. I still think that's a pretty niche product. I don't think everyone's running out to buy a $50 mask. I think tech solutions that help you sanitize or disinfect your products or your home, things around your home, or even your gadgets like your phone, those will also continue to be popular. We expect to see a couple of those at the Consumer Electronics Show coming up in January. I've already gotten a number of pitches about that kind of tech. So I think that in 2021, as people start to leave their homes more, that type of tech or that kind of solution will be needed.
And of course, one thing that's been on the rise this year is streaming services and at-home entertainment options. Joanna, you were on the show last year to talk about the explosion of new services coming on the scene. And now they're all here and they all cost at least a few bucks. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm definitely not willing to pay for all of them. So what happens in the next year? How does this shake out?
I think, yes, people will narrow down their subscriptions, but I think these are going to get even more expensive in 2021. I think subscriptions as a whole, we're going to see more price hikes. The big model around subscriptions is recurring revenue. So you are already continuing to pay a company every month for whatever service they provide. But then they start adding features in, and so then they want you to pay more for them. And we're starting to see that, whether it was Netflix, which seems to raise their prices every 2 weeks. We've seen it around Google starting to charge for their photos solution. It's only going to continue.
Joanna, how many streaming services do you subscribe to, and how many do you plan on canceling?
I only subscribe to Quibi.
I got some good news for you about that.
Yeah, so now I don't subscribe to anything. It was only Quibi. No, I subscribe to almost all of them.
Nicole, we talked a little earlier this week about the way some services have been experimenting with pricing and release models. Does that continue?
I definitely anticipate more big theatrical releases on streaming, simultaneous with theater releases. It all started with Universal's Trolls World Tour, which broke all sorts of digital records and shocked the industry. I think it made something like $100 million for in rentals, and the rest of Hollywood looked at Trolls and thought, Universal's getting all of that user data. They're owning the distribution channel, and so they understand who's buying and, you know, getting all of this valuable data. And I think that Disney and Warner Media, each of which are releasing big blockbuster films on their respective streaming channels, are hoping for that too. So, you know, Warner Media in 2021 releasing their entire slate, including Dune. Dune's director and Hollywood at large is not thrilled about this simultaneous release, but I think the companies that own the big studios, Comcast with Universal and AT&T with Warner Media, are digitally minded. They want that data. And so I definitely think we'll see more big blockbuster releases, and we'll be able to watch them in our PJs at home rather than going to a movie theater.
Yeah, and speaking of things we've been doing in our PJs, lots of companies have instituted long-term remote work policies. Chris, what does that look like going into the future?
So the future of remote work, it's going to be complicated because so many companies have different preferences. Reed Hastings of Netflix has said that having everybody work from home is a disaster. He can't wait to get everybody back in the office, you know, creating more streaming content for us to stay at home and watch. Others have said, you know, the shift is going to be permanent. Google just announced that they're going to let every single employee work from home at least a couple days of the week forever. Lots of companies are letting people move to different states and cities and adjusting their salaries accordingly. There's the whole Texodus of companies like HP Enterprise and Oracle and Tesla all moving to, you know, Austin and Houston. So clearly there are permanent changes happening because people are moving to the suburbs and they're moving to different states, and companies are responding by saying that, you know, even when people can come back to the office, it might not be the same office. It might be a satellite office. It might be a co-working facility. That is really up in the air, but it's clear that there's going to be a permanent shift that's going to have big implications for how many people are in, you know, Midtown Manhattan on any given day.
And I think on the tech side of that, we're going to start to see some solutions that take into account the fact that some of the workforce is home and some of the workforce is in their office. And whether that be improved video calling systems or AR or VR solutions that allow you to sort of feel like you're in an office, but you're not in the office. I think we're going to be hearing a lot more of that in the next year.
Joanna, is that a plug for Spatial, your favorite place to hang out and work in VR?
I do love Spatial, and I do love VR office spaces. The only place to really go in VR is the office.
That is a bold prediction. Okay, so aside from the pandemic, I want to talk a little bit about tech regulation. We talked a little earlier in the week about antitrust regulation, but something else that's been brewing this year is a tech rivalry with China. Both China and the U.S. have been ramping up restrictions on each other, and we've talked on the show often about how technology and control over the future of tech infrastructure sort of gets caught in the middle. Chris, is this relationship going to change with a President Biden?
It doesn't seem like the Biden administration has as much power over that relationship as you would think, because so much of it is on China at this point. Like, China's leaders have felt for a long time like the U.S. is trying to sort of clip China's wings, and everything that the Trump administration did really confirmed their worst fears. So from their perspective, you know, there's this unruly democracy that likes to change its leadership every 4 to 8 years. Who knows who is coming after Biden? So they really have to prepare for trade wars and for becoming technologically independent no matter what. I mean, so just recently, the ban on advanced microchip manufacturing was expanded to include China's largest chip manufacturer. So this is a potentially devastating blow between that and the ban on exporting that to Huawei, which is our largest wireless and telecoms company. You know, China is going to spend the next 10 to 30 years trying to staunch that bleeding and really catch up in terms of making its own homegrown microchips.
Okay, guys, I want to open up the crystal ball. Anything we didn't talk about that you're really looking out for in 2021?
Something that I'm really obsessed with and have been obsessed with for a long time are e-bikes. And I truly believe that, you know, anyone who gets an e-bike becomes an e-bike disciple, because it's an incredible way to get around, especially if you live in San Francisco and there are a lot of hills. And this year, companies like VanMoof, which is like a specialty, like premium e-bike maker, recorded record sales. And the pandemic pushed a lot of people to get electric scooters, electric bikes, and, you know, these sort of alternative ways of getting to places that aren't being packed inside of a subway or being packed inside of a bus. And so I'm hoping that more owners of these kinds of personal vehicles, electric vehicles, will change our cities. Paris's mayor already committed to more miles of bike lanes, and so did Seattle's mayor. He said that some of the streets that are closing for COVID will remain dedicated to pedestrians and cyclists permanently. So something to look forward to in 2021, hopefully. More bike lanes and more space for people to walk around. Less room for cars.
Spoken like a true e-bike disciple.
I really want a scooter, but I don't have any place to go on it.
Well, you can go to your 5G pole.
That's true. I can go to my 5G pole.
And speaking of, Joanna, what have we seen from 5G and what should we expect?
What we saw this year was 5G-capable phones. The iPhone, the entire new iPhone lineup got 5G. Lots of Android phones got 5G. So lots of people are buying now phones that have 5G. The big issue is that you can't really get 5G. Or if you get 5G, it's not as fast. It's not the fast type of 5G. What will happen in 2021 is those networks will start to build out. We'll have more 5G networks. You'll get more coverage. And the speeds should get quicker.
I'm excited for just that 5G-connected notebook, so I'm not beholden to Wi-Fi wherever I go. I actually think that might be a game changer.
I think laptops that connect to 5G will come in 2021. Some have already started to come. I think laptops will continue to see a lot of momentum. We saw it this year with, especially around Apple's MacBook, with their putting ARM chips into their lineup. We're going to continue to see that build on Apple's lineups, but also we'll see that across Windows computers. I spoke with the president of Qualcomm, who said they're really excited about what's going on with other types of laptop manufacturers and how they're integrating ARM chips.
Which would be a pretty big step forward for 5G, right? Since those networks aren't really reaching most people right now.
Yeah, or you'll see that the products you currently have that might use 5G might actually get better, and there might be more use cases of what can I actually do with 5G? Because right now, all you can do with 5G on your phone is download something a little bit quicker.
Okay, so we'll be watching for that. Anything else to keep an eye on this year?
I predict that in 2021, we all get vaccines, the pandemic goes away, and we decide we don't use social media anymore. We just do real life social interaction. And we all stand less than 1 foot away from each other.
But then we post about it on Instagram?
We don't post. We don't post anymore. In 2021, no more social media.
Okay.
No social media, just hugs. Piggybacking off of Joanna, I think that the digital raves, like the rave scene, the underground rave scene, is going to be really hot post-vaccine.
Not so sure about those last ones, guys. All right. Our columnists Joanna Stern, Nicole Nguyen, and Christopher Mims, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
I'm going to go look into my webcam crystal ball now.
I would expect nothing less. And that was your last Tech News Briefing of 2020. We won't be on the air tomorrow for the holiday, but we'll be back in your feeds on Monday. Supervising producer of Tech News Briefing is Chris Zinsley, and Kateri Yoakum is the executive producer of WSJ Podcasts. I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening, and Happy New Year.